From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Work From Home Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, a call to focus on God's Word, an extension of the social distancing guidelines, and creative ideas for churches during this difficult time. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and homeschool dad. This past week, the Coronavirus Task Force, under the leadership of Vice President Mike Pence, has recommended that social distancing guidelines be extended until the end of April, and as a result, many states are following suit. How will it impact you, and how will it impact the spread of the virus? Joining Family Research Council President Tony Perkins to talk about it is the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Alex Azar.
Secretary, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's great to be with you and your listeners again. Thank you.
Well, I've been watching the task force briefings that have been taking place each day, and then Sunday, of course, the president making this new recommendation based upon what you and others have suggested to him. How did the modeling data that you had access to of the virus shape the decision to extend this social distancing, these guidelines through April?
Well, I think all of the different models that we're looking at, there's never one model that's perfect. It depends on the assumptions that the modeler puts into it. All of them suggest that we are not yet at the peak. And the president's 15 days to slow the spread is critical. It gave us those 15 days. But for us to actually see bending of the curve, because this has a two-week incubation period on it, for us to see real slowing of progression, we need to unfortunately continue those types of social distancing, community mitigation behaviors longer. You know, we're still seeing a very stressful situation in the New York metropolitan area. We're seeing in Chicago, Detroit, New Orleans, southern Florida, we're seeing cases and rising cases that are of concern, and now would just not be the right time to let our feet up off the brakes.
So, Mr. Secretary, in New York, what we see unfolding there, which seems to be the most dramatic, of course, the most densely populated area to be hit thus far, is this, are they kind of ahead of the rest of the nation? Are they a couple of weeks ahead?
Well, Tony, I think that's really going to be the dispositive question. Is New York and the New York metro area different from what we will experience elsewhere in the country? If we look at the epidemiological curves of every other community in the country that's experiencing cases, we see almost identical gentle sloping in terms of the increase of cases. New York is different. New York's quite different. Now, there are reasons, as you just mentioned, why New York might be different. They were a little later in getting to community mitigation efforts. It is a very densely populated, highly mobile community that spreads out over multiple counties and three states. So there are reasons why New York you might think would be different. The big test is going to be, do we see other New Yorks, or do other communities that get impacted look more like Seattle, where we're starting to see very real progress in flattening the progression of cases there?
Yeah, we've seen in my home state of Louisiana and New Orleans where, you know, that really mushroomed and spread out. Of course, that kind of linked back to Mardi Gras, another kind of almost international event where people come in, very similar to New York in terms of the influx and then the exit of people going elsewhere.
That's right, Tony. And there clearly is a very dominant role of European travel having seeded into our country across communities. So as you say, Mardi Gras there, New York as a commercial hub, as Europe was experiencing cases, whether asymptomatic or symptomatic, and then individuals in Europe or from Europe were bringing that into different communities into the United States. That clearly is one of the major seedings in our country. And so big events like Mardi Gras certainly would have been amenable to that.
So, Secretary Azar, is one of the challenges that those that are working on this, the task force and others, is that this is so new. We just don't know what it's going to do, how it's going to mutate, how it's going to play out. So there's a lot. The reason these guidelines and different things are changing is because more information is becoming available every day as experts study this.
Tony, that's right. We're learning more each day. Our experts are looking at what's happening in Italy, what's happening in Germany and Spain, what happened in China. You know, I was just on with the Chinese health minister yesterday morning for an extensive discussion around what they've learned in the course of their dealing with the disease. I was just on, spent a lengthy discussion with the Canadian health minister today for her learnings on what they're doing and what we're doing. So we're really gathering information every day. You know, one of the things that we are learning is just the increasing prevalence, or maybe not increasing, but unknown until more recently, just how prevalent what we would call asymptomatic carrying of this disease is. We do have a fairly substantial percent of people who will have this disease and not present symptoms. Still fully to be determined how transmissible it is from those individuals, but that's why this can be something of a silent virus and very, very difficult for us to tackle, even with the traditional public health tools of testing, diagnosis, isolation, and contact tracing.
So it's extremely important that people follow the guidelines that's being put out by state, local, and federal officials.
It really is. And listen, I'm the health secretary, and I'll tell you, for me and my family, it's very difficult. So I just want your listeners to know the president, everybody appreciates that this is a moment, a call for shared sacrifice. People are changing the day-to-day routine of their lives, and workers in particular are hurting, although the president working with Congress has brought significant economic relief to people. But these are challenging, challenging times, but they matter a great deal, because the actions that you're taking protect you, they protect your family members, they protect your community. And frankly, in a time of great uncertainty and anxiety just from feeling disempowered, the fact that by staying at home, by controlling your routine, by keeping distance, that you can make a difference in your own protection of your own life, I find that quite empowering in a time of uncertainty.
Well, we can all do our part, and that's one of them. Follow the guidelines, and that's loving your neighbor by not exposing them and not carrying the virus around. Secretary Azar, as always, great to talk with you. Thanks so much. Appreciate the work that you and the rest of the task force is doing to try to keep Americans safe.
Thank you so much, Tony. Great to be with you.
You can find out more about Secretary Azar when you visit tonyperkins.com. We'd also encourage you to continue your support of our ongoing efforts with a gift when you visit tonyperkins.com and click on the donate link at the bottom of the page. That's tonyperkins.com.
This is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch and president of the Family Research Council in Washington. America is in the midst of a national crisis as the coronavirus is spreading across the nation, causing state and federal leaders to take unprecedented actions. Folks, the threat is real. Do your part in slowing the spread. Following the guidance for social distancing, personal hygiene, and limits on public gatherings. And those public gatherings include churches. While we might be tempted to see this as an obstacle to ministry, if we look at it right, it can be an opportunity to minister. We have a great resource site for pastors and churches, the latest on COVID-19, but also creative ideas on how to continue to minister to your church and your community outside the box, the four walls of the church. Go to frc.org/church. That's frc.org/church.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Last Monday, during a press conference in the Rose Garden at the White House, President Trump called on Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow, to share how his company was going to be retooling in order to start supplying N95 face masks for medical facilities. And when he got done with his prepared remarks, Mike said this.
Now I wrote something off the cuff, if I can read this. God gave us grace on November 8, 2016 to change the course we were on. God had been taken out of our schools and lives. A nation had turned its back on God. And I encourage you to use this time at home to get back in the Word, read our Bibles, and spend time with our families. Our president gave us so much hope, where just a few short months ago, we had the best economy, the lowest unemployment, and wages going up. It was amazing. With our great president, vice president, and this administration, and all the great people in this country praying daily, we will get through this and get back to a place that's stronger and safer than ever.
Well, joining me now to talk about this is Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Mike, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks for having me on. Wow, I'll tell you, by me saying that, I've been attacked from yesterday. I just found out what Jim Acosta said about me. I mean, I'm really feeling it now, what I felt in 2016 when I went all in for the president. I got attacked then, too. It's like a rerun just because I spoke out for Jesus.
Well, I thought it was, first off, I want to thank you for taking that opportunity. The one thing I appreciate about this president, he allows people to speak. He doesn't shut them off. Now, you were there before I get into those comments, you were there as a part of a number of CEOs that are turning their companies into solutions for some of the challenges on the shortfall that are healthcare workers. So explain to our listeners what MyPillow is doing now to help meet that need.
Right. We turned over 75% of our production. I went into making the cotton mask, and I was so my passion is always to help whatever I can do and give back. And we did it in 3 days. Once I found out from the coalition from the that set up with Peter Navarro and all this, he directed me so I could find out what to make them out of and get the right, to make sure I was making the right things, the right sizes. At the same time, all my workers were getting the company ready so it's safe for our workers. And we did it in 3 days. We got up to 10,000 masks a day. By the end of the week, we'll be up to 50,000 masks. But we were hearing from all over the country then once we had announced it, and we were hearing everybody else that wants to help out. So I was, then I get invited to the White House for these other CEOs, and we had a round table. And what an amazing thing that the president listens in and the vice president takes it all in and makes these great decisions based on listening, actually being listening to what's going on out there and who's participating. It was just amazing.
Well, now, Mike, you and I know each other. And in fact, the last time we talked was at the White House, I think, may have been.
Yeah.
It was we were down in Florida with the kickoff of the evangelicals for Trump. But let me just ask you this question. I mean, in the press conference yesterday, you talked about what the company was doing, but then you turned to the president. I just played the clip, and you said you had something off the cuff that you wanted to share. What prompted you to share that message?
Well, I thought the things we wrote were for the roundtable, and then I heard that we were, it was going to be out at the press conference, and I just felt led by the Lord. I was sitting there. Here's the time the president, he was talking to the other CEOs by the Oval Office or in the Oval Office, and I just felt, led by the Lord. So I jotted down some stuff on the back, and I just felt now is the time to give hope out to the people. What I had just seen in there, in that room, was all the things the president, decisions he was making and going, it gave me so much hope. And I wanted to get that message out there. And I thought, God gave me the words, because I'll tell you, I couldn't read my writing. I couldn't read my writing. And I just wanted the people. I believe now is the time for the greatest revival in history. I've had bad media call me today. And I said, I don't take back anything I said. I said, in fact, I'm going to double down. And, God did give us grace on January or in November 8, 2016, because a nation had turned its face away from God. And I think right now, people now they're coming to faith. Like, I believe they're, before I forget, I heard you talking about the churches. The president and I talked about that afterwards. Everybody had left. And we talked about the churches, and I said, Mr. President, I said, a good friend of mine, I said, I talked to Rabbi Kurt Landry, I said, he has House of David, and I said, they can't go open that, but yet a car parts store where they're not even using protection, and everybody's in there like nothing's going on, and I said, what's more important than the efficient, or a business that is essential, I think, than a church where it's all praying. And then we also talked about the president saying, we need to get the ones that are open safe, like MyPillow. We made everything safe for our workers. Right now you can go into businesses, and I encourage your Walmarts of the world, they should have guards at the door saying, here, put sanitizer on and you come with a mask on. And their workers should have masks. I mean, this is You know, and if there's no reason that other businesses couldn't do that, what the president was talking to me about is get the ones that are out there should show an example that are open, and the churches should be able to be, if they they'd be leading the way. Of course, they'd be making it, you know, making sure everybody was safe.
Mike, when you take this opportunity, you say the Lord led you to do this, but you also have a story in that the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ radically transformed your life, delivered you from drugs, and you have one of the most successful businesses in America. And I just, you know, this is a time, and I think you're right, that we need to share this information. People are looking. They're looking for answers in this time of uncertainty. And I'm just thrilled that these platforms are being opened, even though, as you said, the left media and the left attacks, they don't want to hear this, but it's true. And I do think the people want to hear it and the people need to hear it.
Absolutely. And I view it as spiritual warfare. I knew that when I went all in 2016. I never knew anything about politics. Tony, you said it right. I came out of addiction. I had never voted in my life. I didn't know a liberal from a conservative. Take all that out of it. When I met Donald Trump in the summer of 2016, that was turned out to be a divine appointment. I felt led by God to go all in, and I risked my company and everything. I was attacked by the Better Business Bureau. They took me from an A-plus to an F. But I did. I use Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and always acknowledge him, and he shall guide your paths. God gives me favor, and he shows me all the time I'm on the right path. Today, we are just, I mean, I am so blessed that my platform was used by God to get the message out today. And I encourage every single evangelist, every single Christian, every single person in this country to get into the Word, get into the Bible. And this is the time for the great revival.
So, Mike, you told me earlier that your website was being attacked. How can people pray for you?
That you guys, if you could pray that my website, it's like we've never had this happen. It's like it keeps breaking, things keep happening, and I just think it's the devil. I mean, it's evil attacking my pillow because it knows we're winning. We're winning. We're bringing God back to our country. And if you can pray for me to wisdom and discernment, what to say to all these outlets, and pray for my company to be able to, that's the foundation so I can do these things out there. And we're under attack.
All right. We will we'll certainly do that, and also encourage people, if they need a new pillow, I can suggest a good source, My Pillow. How's that?
That would be great. Thank you.
Mike, always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, God bless. Thank you.
All right, Mike Lindell with MyPillow. You know, I've been with Mike a number of times at different events, and he's just enthusiastic for the Lord, and not surprised at all at what he did yesterday and sharing that message. And it was a timely message, and it was a needed message, because we look at all of these things going on, and yes, we have needs, you know, for masks, ventilators, we have all of these things that are needed. But those are symptoms of a greater need. And right now, people are looking, they're answering the bigger questions of life. Are trying to. The uncertainty that envelops us. And yes, point people back to the scripture. If we turned off the television, opened the Bible, which is what Mike said. He said, look, just take some time and spend time in the Word of God and with your family. And I can't think of better advice. In fact, I've given the same advice out here. Turn the television off. You don't need to be watching the news 24/7. It's not going to change much. But get your family together and read through the Word of God. We've got the Bible reading plan that takes you through the Bible in 2 years. Great, great journey to make together as a family. You can go to TonyPerkins.com, find out more about that, or go to frc.org/Bible and participate in that 2-year Bible reading plan.
What are you reading this spring? Check out frcblog.com for the latest commentary on the issues facing our culture today. The content on our blog is written by our policy experts and other FRC staff as well as outside contributors. Some of our latest posts include, "To abandon the nuclear family ideal is to abandon being human." "Why does the abortion industry hate women?" "China uses coronavirus to oppress religious minorities." Stand for truth by staying informed at frcblog.com.
We all can benefit from a good lecture. They can inform you and grow you. Well, Family Research Council's new weekly podcast features lectures by top thinkers from the archives of the FRC Speaker Series. Our podcast addresses issues like religious liberty, life, marriage, family, sexuality, public policy, and the culture, all from a biblical worldview. The Lecture Me podcast is available wherever podcasts are found, or visit frc.org/podcasts.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Nearly everyone has been impacted by the social distancing guidelines in some way, but for Christians, it's most felt on Sunday when you can't go to church. Many churches have gone to online services, but what about the other vital ministries that churches are typically involved in? Joining Tony to talk about the ways that churches can reach out during this time is Pastor Tim Holland of Life Church in Coppell, Texas.
Pastor Tim, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you so much, Tony. I appreciate your leadership at every time and every season, but especially in this very difficult time. I appreciate leaders like you that are stepping up and helping coordinate important initiatives that we need now more than ever.
Well, I appreciate that, but it's all comes down to the local church. The local church is what's making the difference on the front lines. And in times like this, when people have a need, I've always said, just find a need and meet it. And that's what Life Church is doing. Explain Just Open the Trunk.
So we knew when this crisis began, God was preparing our hearts to how we're going to serve our local church and also how we're going to serve our community. And I found myself, Tony, kind of in a quandary because I had two competing values at the same time. One was to make sure that I keep all of our staff, all of our volunteers and church family safe, of course, and that we follow the direction of the president, of our governor, of our county and city officials, and respect the policies that they've put into place. And yet I found myself with the other desire to want to reach people who are in need. And I thought, how can we do both things? How can we achieve both things at the same time? It reminded me of the story of Nehemiah, you know, because Nehemiah knew that he had to defend attack of the enemy. And right now we have an invisible enemy, the virus itself. And yet we have to keep building the wall. We have to keep meeting the need. And so I had this idea of just open the trunk. So the way it works is really simple. Someone who wants to donate to our local church food bank, they can load up the stuff that they want to donate to the church. They just put it in their trunk and then drive up to the church. They don't actually park in one of our parking spaces. They just pull up in the front of our church right by the doors as close as they can. And they don't even have to get out of their car. In fact, we tell them to please not get out of their car for their safety and for our team's safety. And all they have to do is just open the trunk. And that's why we call it that, because that's literally all they have to do. When they open the trunk, one of our staff and volunteer members comes out and gets the box of the food that they're donating. We take it inside the church and we sanitize it, clean it, organize it. And then the same process actually happens for someone who needs to receive food. They just go to our website and click on a form there that they let us know how the size of their family. And one of our team members calls them and gives them a specific time and a day that they can come and pick up their items as we prepare a box just specifically customized for them. You don't want to be giving diapers away to, you know, a single man who lives by himself with no kids in the house. And so we're customizing every one of these boxes just for what people need based on the size of their family. And they do the same thing. When they come to pick up, they just park in front of the church, open the trunk. They don't get out of their car. And one of our team members just places it there in the trunk of their car, so that they have exactly what they need, and there's no actual, interaction that would put anybody at risk, and yet we can meet the need in a time that is so difficult for so many already.
So that's what I call thinking outside the box, outside the four walls of the church, and how we can continue to do ministry. And I just encourage pastors, don't think about what you can't do. Think about what you can do. Find a need in your community and meet it. Now, Pastor Tim, I also, you shared something in your correspondence with us that I thought was very encouraging, and why it's so important just to follow the leading of the Lord, of the Holy Spirit. The Lord kind of led you in preparation of working through. You have a big church, and so you have like 16,000 people on the rolls, and you were going through that in advance, making contact with these people, so you kind of were already in process when this happened.
Yeah, it's really interesting, Tony. Last year, in about October, November, I felt a prompting in my spirit that we needed to actually pick up the phone. You know, we have social media, and we have website, and we have all the latest technology, but I really felt the need that we needed to actually pick up the phone and call one by one. And I'm sure many pastors can relate that throughout the years, you get a pretty big database of anybody who's ever visited the church. Some of those people are very connected and plugged in. Other people maybe have just visited once, maybe never came back. But I felt that we were supposed to call them, and we named it Operation Rescue. And so I had our staff begin to call people. Now, I'll be honest with you, a lot of people were very grateful for the call last year, and some were not. Some were kind of wondering, you know, what is it you need? Why are you bothering me? And so we had a mixed response last year when we did this. But we realize now that God had already prepared us so we would be organized, and now we're doing Operation Rescue 2.0, where we're going through the list of people. Our staff now is trained on how to make those phone calls, because one of the things, Tony, we had to do is repurpose our staff. There's a lot of pastors that have awesome staff members but don't know how to put them to use.
And that's a key part of this. Pastor Tim, we're out of time. We're going to follow this up later. But thanks so much for what you're doing, and thanks for joining us. Folks, we're out of time. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, stay strong in the Lord.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.